peace and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ be with everyone here in Irvine. Thank God that He has safely guided us through another week and that we can gather here and worship our Lord Jesus with our heart and with our minds and our strength. This morning I'd like to share with you the topic, Priscilla and Aquila, for our mutual encouragement. And this morning, basically, I'd like to address the question, what makes a good marriage? What makes a good marriage? I think when you think about this question, if we are not married, we probably have a vision in our mind, some type of ideal that we would like to reach in our own marriage in the future. And likewise, if we are married, we always are striving to make a better marriage, to have a good marriage. So this morning, I'd like to examine one particular couple in the Bible, which I think really had a very ideal marriage that we can all emulate. And whether we are married or unmarried, we can examine whether our marriages or our marriage ideals line up with the principles of the Bible. So in fact, when we read through the book of Acts, we will meet a lot of families. We get glimpses into a lot of the families in the early church. One particular family is Timothy's family. Right, Timothy, his mother believed, but his father likely did not believe. Right, so this is kind of a first family that we can get a glimpse of. Half the family were believers, but the other half was not a believer. But the next step up is the family of the Philippian jailer. Right, the Philippian jailer, his whole family was baptized. Right, so maybe some of us also came to Christ by ourselves first, but one of the goals that Jesus Christ has for all of our families is that the whole family can be in Christ. Right? So whether if we came first, and maybe our other half has not come to the Lord yet, then we should do our very best to preach the gospel vocally and also with our actions, and try to bring them to Christ. Now, even if we have a family that's all believing in the Lord, all baptized, there's actually another step that we can go to. We can look at Cornelius' family. Right, Cornelius' family was not only all baptized in the Lord, but the Bible describes that they were all devout. Right, so sometimes we might have families that all believe in Jesus Christ, all are baptized, but maybe the whole family is not devout. Maybe some of the members do not come to church. Maybe some members still are struggling with certain sins, right? And are not devout, have not given their heart completely to the Lord Jesus yet. Right? So this is a next step up. After this family, we can look at Philip's family. Philip was one of the original seven workers to serve in the Jerusalem church. And later on in the book of Acts, it describes how he had four virgin daughters that prophesied. Right, so one step up is not only being devout, coming to service, being God-fearing people, but also the whole family serving God. Right? We rarely, or it's sometimes very rare to see this picture, the whole family serving God. But this indeed is a very beautiful picture, right? Where a whole family, everyone is not only God-fearing, but serving in the church. And finally, the most ideal, which is the family we want to talk about today, is Priscilla and Aquila's family. Right? Of course, these families that I just mentioned here, we only had a glimpse of their family in the book of Acts. We don't know how they turned out in the end. Right? So we really can't say what eventually happened. The ideal goal, though, is to pursue a family like Priscilla and Aquila's that really not only serve God, but their whole life was centered around God and His people. So this morning, I'd like to look at a certain text in the book of Romans that describes Aquila and Priscilla. And we'll learn from these few verses things that we can also aspire to do in our own marriages. So let's turn to Romans chapter 16. The book of Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 3 to 5. Let's turn to Romans chapter 16, verses 3 to 5. Verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. I will stop right there. So these three verses actually can be broken into four sections and four points that we can learn concerning an ideal family, an ideal marriage in God's eyes. The first point is found in just the first four words. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Right, this is the first point. Which is to say that we need to be married in the Lord. That's the first point. When you look at the context of Romans chapter 16, Paul is basically greeting brethren in the church of Rome. Right? And this is a church that he did not establish himself. Rome was a church that he was planning to go to eventually. And so he wrote the book of Romans to introduce himself, introduce his doctrines. And finally, at the end, he was greeting some members that he did know there, right? And the whole, all of chapter 16 is greeting these brethren, and among whom are Priscilla and Aquila. So the first point of creating an ideal marriage, ideal family in the Lord, is we really need to seek to be married in the Lord. Right? This is the first point. So if for our young brothers and sisters here, if we are already starting to think, right? I think many of you are starting to think about, I think in the future, about families, right? Your marriage. Maybe not really seriously, but I remember when I was young, like you would once in a while think about, hey, who would I marry in the future, right? Think about what kind of family would I'd like to have in the future. And so this is the first principle I really would like you to really deeply root in your heart. Really don't have any, just don't make it an option in your heart to marry someone outside of the faith, outside of our church. Now, of course, if right now, perhaps we are involved in a relationship with a non-believer, then perhaps we should reconsider, right? Or if we are involved in a relationship that is, we're really not quite ready for marriage yet, we should probably also reconsider. Because that's like preheating the oven, and you're not going to use the oven yet. And it seems like there's no point to preheating the oven yet, right? Because we know that when a man and a woman is really close, it just things will happen. So really, we should think about planning and thinking about how we would like to create a relationship in the sight of God that really pleases God, right? That does not fulfill the lust of our flesh. Now, related to this point of marrying the Lord, we have to think about why should we marry in the Lord? Just a couple of reasons is that when we marry the Lord, number one, it will help us personally to keep the faith. Right? Do we want to go to heaven? Do we want to finish the journey of our faith? If we do, then really it is quite essential to marry in the Lord, to have a partner to help us along the journey. If we marry outside the Lord, a lot of times, of course, this is not absolute. A lot of times, it's very difficult to keep the faith. A lot of times, over time, it's easy to be swayed by an unbelieving spouse to eventually stop coming to church. Right? And perhaps we may even know families that have fallen into this situation. But even if we marry someone outside of the faith, right, and then we still continue to come to church, sometimes because we're not in the same faith, we don't have the same line of thinking, our thoughts will also be altered by our spouse. Maybe we start to doubt certain doctrines in the faith, right? We start to doubt about the 10 basic beliefs which we have learned in the True Jesus Church, right? So this is one of the first reasons why we should keep the faith, is so we ourselves can be preserved, that we ourselves can finish the race. But secondly, it's also so that our children will be able to preserve their faith. Right? We know that children are an inheritance given to us by God, according to the Bible. Right? And so God has entrusted our children to us so that we can bring them up to be godly children. But if we have someone who is not in the faith, it's also quite difficult to raise up godly children, because half of the family is doing one thing, half the other half is doing the other thing, right? And so because the children grow up in a family where they don't know which way to go, it cannot deeply root them in the Word of God. Right? So we may also have seen ourselves this situation, right, where it's very difficult for children, right, maybe even our friends or other families, to stay rooted in the Word of God because of marriages that were not in the Lord. Right? So this is the first point, and this is probably the most important point. Right? It's to marry in the Lord, to be brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 16, verse 3. Romans chapter 16, verse 3. The second point is from the next phrase. Paul greets Priscilla and Aquila, and then he calls them my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. My fellow workers in Christ Jesus. We know that sometimes when people get married, and this could be outside the church, maybe among our friends or coworkers, we see that their marriages are centered on different things. Some marriages are centered on recreation. So you see the couple do a lot of traveling, go on a lot of trips, it's focused on a lot of pleasures, right? Sometimes you'll see certain families focus on wealth creation. Right? So they do everything, focus on their career, making money, trying to get a better job, to be able to live a more luxurious lifestyle. Right? And then you might see some families, the couple, they're focused on their children. Right? Everything they do is for their children. Right? But for Priscilla and Aquila, their primary focus was on church ministry. Right? Paul called them his fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Of course, what I mentioned before, it's not mutually exclusive. Of course, you can have a family that is focused on ministry and be very wealthy, also raise their children well. Right? But what I'm talking about is the focus, the priority of this couple's life. Right? sometimes the focus really is not on godly things. Sometimes the focus really is on all these extraneous things that in the end may become very meaningless. But for Priscilla and Aquila, they focused their marriage, their whole family, on ministry. Right? We know let's turn to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Let's read verses 1 to 4. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. Verse 2. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. Verse 3. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. Verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. What we learn from this passage is that Aquila and Priscilla, yes, they still had their career. They still had their jobs. They were tent makers, as described here. Tent makers can also be thought of as leather workers. Right? They had to do a lot of treatment to animal skins so that they can make the leather used for tents. Right? So, but the thing is, even though they had their own jobs, they had their own careers, that was not their focus in life. In fact, this couple really had a heart of volunteering. Right? They were not full-time ministers like Paul was, right? Where Paul was supported by the church many times. Right? But they themselves, they worked, they made their own living, and with their free time, they also served the church. They focused their marriage on servitude. And this is something that we can aspire to do too. Right, even if we aren't single too, right? This doesn't apply just to marriages. This applies to our personal life too. We can aspire to seek livings, jobs that doesn't take up so much time, right? But actually allows other time to volunteer for the church, right? Just like Priscilla and Aquila. And of course, later on, if we do get married, right, we try to focus the free time, whatever we have, on serving God, on doing something for the ministry. And the second thing that we learn from Aquila and Priscilla's life with regards to servitude is that they also moved all over the place. Right? They were not just settled in one place. They basically went wherever there was work to do. If there was some kind of church works, church ministry that was available to them, they would go there and to serve. In fact, when you read Acts chapter 18, verse 2, we see two locations that Aquila and Priscilla moved to. Right? Aquila was born in Pontus, which is the northwest region of Asia Minor, right, or modern-day Turkey. And then Paul finds them in Corinth. Corinth is in Greece, which is across a sea, right, the Aegean Sea. Later on, if we read chapter 18, verse 18, Acts chapter 18, verse 18, it says that, so Paul remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with him. Let's also read verse 21. But took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. So Aquila and Priscilla started off in Pontus, then they went to Rome, then they went to Corinth, and now we see they went to Ephesus, right? And then remember, we were reading the book of Romans, right? And Paul says, greet Aquila and Priscilla who are in Rome. So we know later on, they also went from Ephesus back to Rome, right? So they did a lot of traveling in their life, right? From Turkey to Italy is across two seas. You have the Aegean Sea, and then you have the, I think, the Adriatic Sea, right? So you have two, you have cross, path across two seas. And then they didn't just go there. They went from Rome back to Corinth, then Corinth back to Ephesus, and then Ephesus all the way back to Rome. Right? So they were very flexible in their life. And it was all, this flexibility was all for the ministry, all for servitude. Right? So not only were their jobs very flexible, they're also very flexible with their, where they resided. Right? So this is something we can consider in the future too. Right? Both concerning our jobs and also where we live. To live in locations where we can serve the Lord. I remember, I often hear, right? This is not something I heard with my own ears, but this is what I often hear, that several decades ago, Elder John Yang, he often encouraged the youth in Taiwan to go abroad if they could. Right? If you can, if you have the possibility of going abroad to study, to work, to open a business, by all means, do it. Right? Because from his point of view, he was thinking the gospel cannot just be kept in this small island of Taiwan, right? The gospel, of course, the gospel was spread elsewhere, but the youth should not just stay there. If they can, they have the possibility of going abroad to bring the gospel with them, then by all means, take it. And it's the same thing for us here in America, right? We should not just be satisfied with the gospel in the coasts and then some places in the central region, right? We need to look beyond just these areas. We need to go into remote areas if we need it, right? We need to go to these churches that are developing to support the ministry there if we can. So I think the same line of thought applies to us. If we have the possibility of finding jobs in other locations that maybe have worship areas, right, have other members starting to build up a fellowship, a church, then by all means, go and do it for the sake of the Lord. Right? Do it for the sake of the Lord. If you do it for any other reason, right, then it probably will not turn out well for our faith. But if we do it for the Lord, not only will it benefit ourselves, it will benefit the church ministry as a whole. Let's go back to Romans chapter 16. Before that, let's turn to Acts chapter 18. Yeah. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Verse 25. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. Verse 26. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Verse 27. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. Verse 28. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. So Priscilla and Aquila's ministry brought them to meet this man named Apollos. Right? And they heard Apollos speaking, heard that he was a very gifted worker, but he still had some parts of the gospel that he didn't quite understand fully. So they took him aside, explained to him more fully the way of God. Right? And in the whole process, they wound up molding a very important worker for the Lord. Right? So Priscilla and Aquila, their marriage was centered on servitude, and this servitude really pleased the Lord, and it turned out to be very beneficial for the church, because Apollos later on was very effective worker for the Lord. Right? Even in Corinth, it says here that he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. Right? Or in Ephesus. Yeah. So this is the second point that we can learn, to center our marriage on serving God. Let's turn now back to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 4. Romans chapter 16, verse 4. Who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. This is the third point that we can learn from Priscilla and Aquila's marriage. Not only was it centered on servitude, right, to the Lord, but it was also centered on showing love. Showing love to people. Yeah. We know that in John chapter 15, verse 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And we see when Paul talks about Priscilla and Aquila, he describes them as people who risked their own necks for my life. Right? So they were willing to sacrifice themselves in some way to benefit Paul. Right? Yeah. And of course, whenever someone is willing to sacrifice themselves to take on some type of pain, some type of inconvenience for the sake of another person, this is really an act of love. This is really a love that is often not natural to us, right? Right? It can only be done through the movement of God's love in us, so that we are willing to do that for other people, right? But for us, of course, if we are to show love to others, it doesn't mean that we have to die for another person. Right? It doesn't mean, literally, we need to die for another person. But there's other ways that we can, quote-unquote, risk our lives for the sake of our brethren. This, because another way to think about giving our life to someone is that we know that time equals life. Right? As long as we have time, we have life. Right? If we have life, then we have time. So a way to give our life for another person is also to say we give our time to another person. Right? We spend time with people that are in need. We spend time with people who may need help, counseling, or maybe physical assistance. Right? This is a way that we can lay down our life for another person. Right? And this is a true love that really has no ulterior motives. Right? Yeah, and how do we know if we are truly showing this love with no ulterior motives? We can really identify if what we're doing is really pure, is especially if the person that we're showing the love to cannot pay us back. He has no means to return the favor. Right? Then we really know that what we're doing is out of love. Right? So I remember when I was in college, I was in grad school, I was away from my parents. Right? But a lot of times, a lot of church families, in a way, they took us in as their own children. Right? They provided for us free meals. Right? They provided us their house to gather in, to have fellowship in. This type of love, indeed, has no ulterior motives, because at that time, we had no ability to really pay them back, because, you know, we were just students. We had to save, and we had to pinch our pennies. Right? So, but when I think back to those families, I really think of them as families like Priscilla and Aquila, which centered their marriage, centered their family on showing love. Right? Yeah, and when I think back to them, I am very grateful for them. Because even years later now, I'm still touched by all the love they showed. They went out of their way to do many things. Right? Sometimes when I did some traveling abroad, right, church members there, I may not have even known them either. Right? And they would take us into their home, provide for us, basically pay for everything too. Right? And I think back to these families also as an as following after the example of Aquila and Priscilla, because they really centered their life on giving to people who could not give back to them. And for Paul, he felt this love too. Paul felt this love from Aquila and Priscilla, and he gives thanks. He's touched. Right? And not only he is touched, but also the churches of the Gentiles. So though Aquila and Priscilla were Jews, they didn't just focus their love on the Jewish Christians, right? They focused their love on the Greek Christians, the Gentile Christians too, right? So that both Jews and Greeks were touched and give thanks for their love. Right? And this is something that we can think about too. Do we only show love to maybe people of our own background, similar background? Or do we also give and show love to people who are of different backgrounds? If we do, then we are also following after the example of Aquila and Priscilla. Finally, let's look at verse 5. Romans chapter 16, verse 5. It says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet the church that is in their house. This is the characteristic that really differentiates them from the other families that we mentioned before in the book of Acts. Right? We mentioned about the Philippian jailer, Philip, who had daughters who prophesied, and they all served the Lord together, right? But Priscilla and Aquila, you can say, was one step further in the sense that they did not just only serve when they were at church, right? But actually, the church was literally in their home. It was in their home. They gathered in their home. This is the ideal situation that we should be reaching for, right? That the church is like a family, it's like a home, and then the family is like a church. Right? What do I mean by that? The church is like a family, meaning that there is love in the church. Right? Just like how family members will really go out of the way to help one another. And then the family is like a church, meaning that the family is Christ-centered. Right? So this is the most ideal situation we should aim for, which Priscilla and Aquila has shown us. Right? The church was in their home, and their home was the church. So, we have to realize that the church in the apostolic times did not just gather on Sabbath, right? We have many examples from the book of Acts that, and maybe Corinthians too, that show how the disciples, the believers in Jesus Christ, they gathered on other days as well, Sunday, Monday, right? Those 2 days are explicitly recorded in Scripture, but there could be other days that they also gathered to have service. So if Priscilla and Aquila were always hosting these gatherings. Think about how much of an inconvenience that was. Right? Think about if every, maybe three times of the week, we are hosting church brothers and sisters in our own homes. Right? It's actually quite inconvenient, right? And in a way, we may even lose our privacy that we may cherish. But this is the type of attitude, the type of marriage that Priscilla and Aquila centered their life around. Right? It was centered on servitude, centered on showing love, and also centered on the church itself. Right? The church was the home, and their home was the church. Yeah. So today, of course, we have the advantage of gathering in public spaces, just like this chapel. Right? And that does not mean that we need to go back to the era of having house churches. But we can think about if we have the means, we have the capability of hosting church members. Maybe they come from out of state, they need to stay nearby. Maybe we can host them. Or maybe the church, our local church, has a need for a location to host a fellowship, that we can also open our homes to become like a house church for them. Right? These are ways, practical ways that we can apply this. Yeah. But later on in the future, right, if we do have this goal to preach the gospel in remote areas, right, we should also think about having the church in our home, right, to start up these family services, these Bible studies in our home, to get the church going. So when I was on my internship this winter, right, I was interning in the central region, in some of the more remote areas of the True Jesus Church. And I went to one particular place, and I really felt like this family really followed this example of Aquila and Priscilla, which was that the church was in their home, and their home was like church, right? And their whole family atmosphere was very different than a typical family that you might visit, right? Their whole family was really concerned about family, the church members. They're always thinking about them, always calling them, always trying to build up the members in their faith. Even their child, who is in high school, right? Their child thinks very differently than a typical high school student that you might meet. Right? Even their child is thinking about the members and always talking about how we can pray for the members in that remote area. So when you come to this type of family, you're really filled with a unspeakable joy, right? It's a type of joy that you can only have in Christ, and a type of joy that you can only have when a family is in this type of harmony with the will of God. And this is the type of family that we should aspire for. Yeah. So today we talked about the four principles that Aquila and Priscilla's marriage shows us. Right? And I hope that we can keep these in mind, whether we are married now, right? We can always improve our families, our marriages, or if we are still not married, right? To keep these principles in mind so that when we do eventually create our own families, we can keep these principles in mind, which is to marry in the Lord, center our marriages, our families on serving God, center our marriages on showing love to others, and center our marriages on the church itself, right? As we do this, we'll learn that strong marriages like these will build strong families, right? And strong families will build strong churches. And strong churches will really glorify God, right? Really please God. So we'll conclude the morning message there. Let's once again sing a hymn. Sing hymn 300. Thank you.
on every side. Telling God softly, sweetly cry, when there's love at home. There's no question you can't ask, when there's love at home. There is strength for any test, when there's love at home. Sharing joy in work or play, confidence to face the day, knowing love will find a way, when there's love at home. Love becomes a way of life, when there's love at home. Sweet insistence and true strife, when there's love at home. Gladsome mission each one's gift, willing pledge to love and live, healing balm for every rift, when there's love at home.